Thank you for joining us today. As Associate Pastor David shares the Word of God, our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Associate Pastor David with today's message.
We have become a hypersensitive people. And in order to live in peace today, we have to walk on eggshells. Otherwise, you are labeled mean, evil, racist. Everyone is mad at us. Whatever you say has to be well thought out or it's going to be taken the wrong way. And as a result, leaders can't lead. Parents can't parent. Teachers can't teach. Police can't police. Co-workers can't talk to one another because something is going to be taken the wrong way. And because every time we turn around, we're offending someone. We are offended by a tweet. We are offended by a Facebook post. I mean, tweets, they control us. A cake not being baked just kills us. Comments made by commentators in the Olympics is written about for weeks. The gun emoji on the iPhone is just offensive to people. Mascots. We're offended by mascots. The name of a team, a pro team, has to be changed. In fact, a professor said this last week that their mascot was mean. And it really might disturb incoming freshmen. College students might have their feelings hurt by that mean-looking mascot. You know, today's young people, they're just so sensitive by mascot. I mean, it's out of control how hypersensitive we have become. And I want to introduce to you a new term today, and it is called microaggression. And if you've never heard the term microaggression, this is a very growing trend in our nation today. And what microaggression is, it's a statement, action, or incident regarded as an incident of indirect, subtle, or unintentional discrimination against members of a marginalized group. In fact, just to give you an example of microaggression, we can go to the University of North Carolina, and they have guidelines that they have issued in the university's employee forum aim to help their staff not be so microaggressive and caution against interactive offensive terms. Let me show you what that would be. The first example would be under the religious tab of offensive phrases. And this guidebook talks about and warning against organizing vacations around Christian holidays because this centers the Christian faith and minimizes non-Christian spiritual rituals and observances. So what you can't do as an employee, we caution you against asking someone if they're going on Christmas vacation because the term Christmas vacation is a microaggressive term. With regard to gender, microaggressions, you're discouraged against telling, especially if you're a male, female coworkers that you love their shoes. If you tell a female coworker that you love her shoes, you are being microaggressive toward her because what you're telling her is that you noticed her for her beauty and not for her contribution to the business that you are working. So you cannot tell a woman that she looks nice. Another one is, and this is for the guys here, you are not allowed to ask a coworker if they can play a round of golf. Because if you ask a coworker to play a round of golf, that is microaggressive because you are assuming that they can afford to play a round of golf, and golf is a very expensive sport. And not only this, they said it's not accessible to everyone. You know, we only let certain people play golf, so it's not accessible to everyone. So that's microaggressive. Got to stay away from that one. Another one is when you talk about gender orientation, you cannot use the term husband or boyfriend or wife or girlfriend because you are assuming that they are married to a woman or a man if it's a girl. You're making some assumptions, so we need gender neutral terms and we need to use partner or spouse because those are not microaggressive terms. Even furthermore, they talked about award ceremonies at work. If there's a faculty award ceremony, be sure not to ask honorees to stand and be recognized Because if you ask them to stand and be recognized, there may be honorees that are unable to stand and be recognized, and you will be offending those who are physically unable to stand and be recognized. So we no longer can do that. That is microaggressive. Not only at North Carolina, you can move over to the University of Virginia. And the University of Virginia says we are no longer going to identify oneself as an American. Because if you use the term American, there may be folks in the room that are not American. Now, we're talking about in America. You cannot use the term American because that may be microaggressive to those who are in that. And then you go just to the University of Wisconsin, and they are outlawing the terms melting pot or land of opportunity because that is micro-offensive to some, even though America is the melting pot and the land of opportunity. But this stuff is so good, you can't even make this stuff up. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. We can't say anything anymore without someone getting offended. We have adults walking around saying, "I was offended. I was offended." So what? Nothing happens. You were just offended. Nothing happens. But we're talking about adults here, and obviously with our young people, they are learning. They are going to get their feelings hurt, and as parents, we teach them, we coach them, they're learning. But when we get to the adult phase of life, we should be to where we can get past being offended. You know, people say, "I was offended." It's not like when we are offended, something happens. You don't go to bed at night, wake up the next morning because your coworker said something offensive to you, and now you have leprosy. Nothing happens. You were simply offended, and that is okay. See, we say we want to live in a free country, but we never want to be offended again. And that's where we have no common sense anymore. See, we want to make laws against offending people. But being offended is subjective. Being offended has everything to do with you as an individual or a group or a religious group or what you believe, because what may be offensive to one may not be offensive to another. You can't legislate that. See, how do we think freedom works? Bottom line is we've got to get tougher as a people, as a nation. We have got to grow beyond taking things so personal. So if you haven't figured out already, my title today is Offended. My title today is offended. And obviously, some of these examples are hopefully are ridiculous and silly and hilarious to us. But what I want to caution us in is what Paul did in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." And if we are not careful here in church as Christians, we can begin to copy the behaviors and customs of this world, and we can become hypersensitive here in church. We can become very hypersensitive, and all of the pastors have to make me happy, and if they don't, I'm out of here. And not just the pastors, every church member. I'm telling you, one church member offends me, and everyone down at that church is mean and terrible. And not everyone, just that one person that upset you that comes once a year at Christmas and Easter. So, I mean, you can't label the whole church based on the CEOs of the church, the Christmas Easter only people. You can't do that. See, basically, the world revolves around us now. And the job of the entire world is to make me happy. My spouse's job is to make me happy. My kid's job, my boss's job, my father-in-law's job, my pastor's job is to make me happy. And you think you have a tough time? Three of those I have in one person. My boss, my pastor, and my father-in-law are one. So when my boss makes me mad, that means my pastor has made me mad and my father-in-law has made me mad. And he's not three in one like God is three in one. I can tell you that. See, at least when you get mad, your boss makes you mad, your pastor can hug you. Mine can't because I'm mad at him too. So life's tough for all of us. And you know, I think the biggest thing that gets our underwear in a wad is social media. So social media really just, I mean, we see something on social media, and I mean, the rest of our day is done. And we're telling everybody, we're going around asking everybody, can you believe this? And we get our phone, we're like, can you believe this? Can you believe it? I'm tweeting out right now. Tonight, I'm gonna comment on that right now. I gotta social media. Nothing happened. You were just offended. It's okay. It's not a big deal. And not only that, politicians have to make me happy. And if I disagree with one thing, then it's over, they're out, they're terrible, they're gone, I'm offended by them. That's why we dislike all politicians, because they don't agree with 100% of everything that we agree with, and we're going to have to get beyond these small disagreements if we're going to go anywhere in our nation. If you're taking notes, write this down. This is important. This may change your life. No one is perfect. And God only uses imperfect people. So God's going to use imperfect parents. He's going to use imperfect co-workers. He's going to use imperfect church members. He's going to use imperfect pastors. He's going to use imperfect teachers. He's going to have imperfect police. There's going to be imperfect people everywhere. And as I was studying for this today, I came across some memes. I don't know if you love memes, but I thought, what a perfect time to show some memes that are out there. I would like to apologize to anyone I have not offended. Please be patient. I will get to you shortly. I like that one. This one was good. Oh, I offended you with my opinion? You should hear the ones I keep to myself. I loved that one. This is the social media one. OMG, I have been offended. And on the internets of all places. And this is the one that's the most true. I don't understand what's happening here, but I'm offended. That's exactly, I don't know why I'm offended, but I'm offended. Proverbs 18:19 says this, an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. An offended person is like a fortified city. You're not getting into a fortified city. You're not getting into an offended person. When offense sets in the heart, you're not getting through to them. There's no talking to them. There's no reasoning with them. Because when we're offended, we have put up walls. We're just like a fortified city. We've put up walls. We are emotional, and we are hearing nothing. I will hear nothing about that because offense is in my heart, and I'm as fortified as a city. See, offense causes us to shut off and lose sight of all rational thinking. We see everything through the eyes of offense, and this is a very dangerous place to live. In fact, the Hebrew word for offended here in Proverbs 18:19 is the word pasha. The word pasha. And the word pasha in the Hebrew means to break away. When you're offended, you break away. It means to trespass, apostatize, or quarrel. But when you are offended, you break away. I want you to think about this. Whenever you get upset with someone, whenever you get offended by someone, what is your first reaction in your heart or in your mind? Your first reaction is to run. Your first reaction is to quit. If this is the way I'm going to be treated, then just forget it, you know. I'm out of here. I don't have to work at this job. I don't have to be in this marriage. We can just get out of ours, you know. I have to deal with my parents anymore. I'm going to another school. I mean, you think about it. When we get upset, our first reaction is to break away. It's our first natural fleshly reaction. It's to leave. It's to run. See, we break away from a person or a vision or a church, a group, a school. I mean, this is exactly what we do. In fact, it uses the word apostatize. So I looked that word up. The word apostatize, it means to renounce totally. And then it goes on to say a religious belief, forsake one's church, their faith, their principles once held. I mean, that was deep when you really went into the word offense. I mean, it is to truly quit, break away. I'm done. I am out of here. See, when offense gets in, it will literally take you out of the area that you are planted and growing in. It rips the seed up, and it says, I am out of here. See, offense causes us to leave where we're at. It gets into, what offense does is it gets into us, and it becomes an insecurity that causes us to say, what did they mean by that? See, we get this, what did they mean by that? And we start to read into, I don't know what they, when they said that, see, when my wife said that, her meaning and what did you, we get these oversensitive offense. Boy, offense will affect everything. It affects every single thing. And we have these hypersensitive eyes. And here's what I got to tell you can't live like that. No one can live like that. It's just such a dangerous way to live. In fact, we are more easily offended in church than we are out in the world. I'm telling you, you have one person hurt your feelings in church. I'm out of here. I am out of here. But you know, at the job site, we can get cussed out once a month, once a week. We can get a daily dose of it. You know, that's just kind of how it is. That's just, you know, that's just how, the church, one time, and the job, it's amazing how we have a double standard when it comes to the church. I'm never going back to that church. My favorite, personally, if I can share a personal favorite with you, is when I get done with a sermon, and I've had this happen before, someone come up to me offended by the sermon, and they said, "You preached that because of me. I know you studied that." And it's like I printed their picture and put it on the wall. And as I'm typing, you know, it's like I have the power to be able to do that up here. I mean, it's exactly what happens. In fact, I love the story. If you ever heard Alan Bates' testimony, Linda Bates had been coming to church for a while before Alan finally surrendered to the Lord. But Linda and then her father-in-law, Alan's dad, Leon, had been roping with our pastor for quite a while before Alan finally came to church. And, of course, when Alan finally surrendered and came to church, he sat in this sermon as Pastor Tim was preaching, and the longer the sermon went on, the more mad Alan Bates got. The more mad he got, the more mad he got. And he, after service, he lit into his wife, Linda. He said, "How dare you tell the pastor what I'm dealing with?" He was convinced in his mind that when they were roping together, his dad and his wife were telling Pastor Tim all about Alan. And Alan said, "I had no idea that the Holy Spirit works through the pastor." That Pastor Tim, he hadn't been talking, he didn't know anything about that. And see, what I want you to know today, maybe you're offended and you think I'm talking about you today. I want you to know it's the Holy Spirit that works, and they'll work through anyone. The Holy Spirit will work through anyone because God is trying to get a word to you. The question is, are we listening? But offended people have no roots. They have no roots because they're always leaving because they get offended. And the biggest thing that I want to communicate to you today is this. Everyone has an opportunity to be offended. Everyone. There will be all kinds of things, and it can happen in any moment, and any time. Life can be going great, and then, boom, offense right there, hurt. Things happen. Something is said the way something was handled, and maybe you really, it's not that you were being petty. You were really wronged, and we're really wrong. And most of the time, do you know who's really going to wrong you? Those closest to you. Because they're the people you let close enough to really wrong you. It's going to be your mate. It's going to be your kids. It's going to be your parents. It's going to be a teacher, a mentor. It's definitely going to be your youth pastor. I mean, I could tell you it's going to be these people that are close to you. The question is not, were you wronged? Here's the question. What are you going to do with that wrong? The question is not, were you wronged? The question is, what are you going to do with that wrong? Are you going to allow it to come in and you grow walls and not let anyone in and become that fortified city and break away and quit and run and move from place to place? Or are we going to take that offense to the cross? Are we going to take that offense and give it to the Lord and allow Him to work? But there's only two responses. Some allow offense to grow in their heart and build a case against others. And some let it get in their heart and they forgive. And they say, "God, I'm going to give this situation to you." But either way, we can't let offense grow in our heart. You know, another thing that causes offense is truth. Even though John 8:32, Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." Sometimes truth offends us. And here's the thing. Sometimes truth is it's sugar-coated, and it's told in a really sweet way that we like. And sometimes truth is just bam. I mean, it just hits you. But either way, truth is truth. And we've got to learn to chew up the meat and spit out the bones, because the truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. The truth will work in our lives, whether it hurts our feelings or not. See, truth is truth, no matter how it's delivered. And you know, the last thing I was thinking about that causes offense is unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. You know, for me, you know what I expect out of other people is I know I'm not perfect, so I expect other people to give me grace. The question is, do we expect imperfection out of other people and give them grace too? Do we hold other people to the same standard I want them to hold to me? Because it's easy to have unrealistic expectations and expect everyone else to make us happy. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we get over offense? What does the Word of God say about the things that might be offending us? Well, I want to look at three biblical keys to overcoming offense. Three biblical keys to overcoming offense. How do we overcome offense? Well, the first key, the number one key, is we got to get over self. The way offense gets all of us is when self is given all of this power, is when everyone has to make us happy. We got to get over ourselves. And this is where Paul said in Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. See, I've got to die to myself. If I'm going to be a Christ follower, I've got to die to myself. And you know, we really do struggle with the Christ following part of being a Christ follower. We really do. Because see, to follow Christ means to live as Christ lived. And as a Christ follower, we struggle with that. Because I want you to think about something. I want you to find one verse where Jesus was offended and he quit the ministry. I want you to find one verse where Jesus said, I'm offended. Y'all disciples find another, you know, savior. And I'm going to go over here and be a carpenter the rest of my life. No, you never saw that from Jesus. Why? Because it was no longer he that lives. See, he looked at the Father and he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And when our feelings are hurt, and they're genuinely hurt, I do not want to make light, because we had some jokes there at the beginning. I don't want to make light of the hurt that you might be experiencing in your heart or in your life. But either way, as a Christian, we've got to crucify that hurt to the cross. We've got to follow Christ as he lived here on this earth. And David is dead. No longer David that lives, but Christ that lives within me. Number two, what's the second key to overcoming offense? We got to give grace. We got to give grace. And in Matthew 6:14, it says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And what Jesus is saying, he's saying you're forgiven in the measure that you forgive others. See, we got to give grace. We've got to forgive others. In fact, what we've got to do is we've got to see the greatness in people before we see the lack. We've got to see people as Jesus sees them. Because the bottom line is, we live with imperfect people here on this earth. And if Christian Ministries Church is going to be a church that makes a difference in this world, if in this community we're going to make a difference, if our marriages here are going to be an example to the marriages in this community, we're going to have to give grace to our spouse. We're going to give grace to one another. See, if we're going to be a church that doesn't just hold a service here where we're entertained and we actually make a difference, then we're going to have to live the Word and not just know the Word. We're going to have to give grace to one another. I'm going to have to give grace to my coworkers and my pastors and my maid and my kids, because I'm praying that my kids give grace to me. I'm definitely praying that. See, we've got to give grace. Number three, how do we overcome offense? We got to look at the fruit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that you'll know a tree by its fruit. See, we've got to see the fruit of what people are doing. You know, it's easy to see the bad fruit on the tree, and it's hard to see the good fruit. Because sometimes we get so negative focused, and Melissa and I talk about this all the time, is if these teachers are going to be allowed to give into Eli's life, then we're going to have to see the fruit of who they are. Boy, this is a great, you know, when you step back from the situation, this is a great teacher. You know, when you step back from the situation, and we had a real traumatic experience happen to us just a couple weeks ago, our daughter entered youth group. You know, the kids' pastors are sweet here. And then she got in that youth group, and I tell you, we've had to see the fruit. You know, we know, boy, Sarah's awesome. Now, we get Sarah's awesome. You know, we just get Sarah will speak into their lives. You know, that Josh, you know. No, but seriously, if we are going to live anywhere here on this earth, we're going to have to see the fruit. We're going to have to see the fruit in their lives and tell our kids to reinforce that. And you know what? Guys, no one's perfect. Mom and dad aren't perfect, and you've probably had to forgive us. We've had to forgive you more than you've had to forgive us, I can tell you that. But we've got to see the fruit. And as we wrap this up today, I want to end with a challenge in this area, because this is a challenging subject. You know, when you're talking about offense, we had to start with jokes today, because you can't go into a subject like offense without maybe making it a little bit light, because offense is tough. You gotta bring the walls down. But everyone has an opportunity to be offended. But here's what happens. When we are offended, we no longer allow others to speak into our lives. You know, sometimes you could even go to a church for a little while where you're offended at the pastor, but every time you go to church, you're not hearing anything. Because he can't speak into my life, because that's an imperfect man. That's an imperfect teacher right there. That's an imperfect person. And what happens is when we're offended, we can no longer have our lives spoken into. And what happens is we become an unsubmitted Christian. And to be a Christ follower is to be submitted. I mean, that's the whole, see, if Jesus is Lord of all, he even has to be Lord of our offense. He even has to be Lord of that area. And so I want to get really serious and with a really serious challenge here and really challenge you in the area. And I want to ask you, has your heart become unsubmitted? Has your heart had a bad attitude to where no one can suit you anymore? And then the second question I have is, are you holding yourself to the same standards that you're holding others to? Because what you'll find is you're holding yourself to impossible standards. You're holding yourself to standards that no one can live up to, including yourself. And if we're going to get anywhere, if Christian Ministries Church is going to be a church that really makes a difference, that really does something here on this earth, here's what we're going to have to learn to do. We're going to have to learn to draw from each other's strengths and overcome each other's weaknesses. We're going to have to learn to forgive the things. But here's what the awesome thing about church is. We complete each other. The awesome thing about church is where I'm very, very weak, Deanne is very, very strong. Where Paul Kern is very strong, I am very weak. But where I'm very strong, Mike might be very weak, but he's strong. And we could go literally around this room, and where many of us are weak, many of us are strong. And that's why it takes the whole body of Christ and not just one, or to quote our pastor, one monkey to have a circus or something like that. I don't get it either. So you're here today. I want to ask you, are you sitting in these chairs today at Christian Ministries with an offended heart? Are you sitting here today? Maybe you walked into church and you didn't even know that God was going to challenge you. But are you sitting here today literally and you have been sulking in offense? You've been sulking in hurt. I want to challenge you. I want the Word of God to challenge you today to forgive. I want the Word of God to challenge you today to give grace. I want you to really take Galatians 2:20. Read that verse over and over that says, no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. Quote it over and over until that doesn't become a Bible verse that you win a sticker in kids' church, but it becomes a lifestyle as an adult. I want to encourage you, if you're offended at your spouse, if you're allowing offense because the enemy just needs to put his foot in the door where you can't shut it. And he gets that foot in the door with your spouse, and it's going to grow from there. And it's going to lead to something that's going to be destructive in your marriage. Have you allowed offense to grow in your heart where the teachers of your kids are concerned? I'm telling you, be careful, because I know, especially if they go here to CM, and I know a lot of teachers that don't even teach here, they love kids. They love young people. Don't let offense get in your heart and take out the work that God is trying to do through that person or through that church or through that school. I want to encourage you, has someone offended you today? Let that offense go. Let that offense go. Die to yourself. Give grace. What we've got to do is we've got to pray and say, God, work on my heart. God, bring those walls down where the area of offense is. Because if Jesus is Lord, he has to be Lord over offense too. He has to be Lord in that area also. Let's stand here this morning. Did y'all get something out of this? I want to encourage you. Josh Barnett was preaching just a little bit ago, and he said, if I'm in Christ, I'm unoffendable. And that has to become our motto. That has to become who we are. Let's pray over our week this week. God, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you that we're not sitting here on this earth trying to figure it out. You gave us your word. You gave us your instruction manual. But God, let our hearts be soft. Let the ground of our hearts be fertile, that these seeds can come in and actually change us and grow in us. God, help us. If offense has crept into our heart, God, I pray that you would help us to get over that. God, you would help us to be able to forgive. It may not be immediate. God, it may take some time, but I pray that we would honestly, genuinely be people that want your word above our flesh, that we want your work in our heart above our pride. God, help us. Why? So that Christian Ministries Church can be a light in this community. God, I pray that our coworkers would see people wronging us and see our response and be changed because of it. God, I pray that Christian Ministries Church will be a light in this community and in this nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.